Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. But there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. My website is www.jbsba.com, out there on the Wild Wild Web. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Don't forget all the other cool things you can do on the website, and including listen to this show live or replayed or in the archives. As you know, by the end of the day, usually maybe by the end of the morning, the show is up on the site as each interview is clipped out in its own archive. And so hope you'll check that out at our website. Brad Huskin is our guest, and he's all over our website. We've got lots of stuff there that he's contributed to our website. Brad is, folks, Brad's motto is so many people to train to sell and so little time. He's the author of I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD. He's the author of Munchies for Salespeople. Brad, welcome back to the show.
Well, good morning, Jim. It's a pleasure to be back with you again.
Good to have you back, and that's your motto, isn't it?
Absolutely. So little time, so many people.
What's going on in the world of sales training these days?
Oh, you know, just traveling around the world, trying to rid the world of poor customer service as usual.
Well, how are you coming? How's your progress?
Well, it's a big job, but by gosh, somebody has to do it.
Well, you're a big guy. So.
Well, I know that. So. Anyway, things are going really well. And, you know, there's a couple of issues that I want to talk about today. And if you were to break sales down to its single common denominator, my belief is that people want to buy from their friends. What do you think?
I think that's right, but I think there's a self-serving motive, because when you think of friends, you think of something that you want to, you know, you want to have this relationship with other people because it's a, you know, a touchy-feely, warm, fuzzy kind of thing. I think it actually may be more self-serving than that. Here's what I mean by that. I think, at least, especially business to business, I think people want to be loyal to you because they don't want to have to take the time to find somebody else to do the job for them.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's what
I think if they exactly. I mean, well, of course, that's what friends are, aren't they? They're people
Absolutely.
You can count on.
I think we're all looking for our buddies in the business, somebody that we can count on, that we can rely on, that we can go to when we have a need that arises, and. You know, just for example, we bought a car recently, and somebody said to me, well, why'd you buy that particular car? The only reason I could come up with is because that's where Ray works now. And my sons have bought cars from him, and my daughters bought cars from him, and
right.
He's just our buddy in the business. Same way with my insurance guy. He's just the nephew of a great, very good friend of ours,
mm-hmm.
So that we know him and trust him just based on that one little piece of information.
And KRCN out there in your part of the world is you know, covering your area. He's probably listening right now.
Well, I'll be gosh darned.
but
Ray,
no,
I just gave you a reference. How about
we really do want to be, we're looking for reasons to be loyal to people, aren't we?
I think so. And I think that subconsciously, everybody is looking for relationships. I think consciously is where the problem comes into play, because we're not consciously out there looking for a relationship. But if we run across it and we find it, then we're going to cling on to it and use it and let that customer, let that person serve us for a long, long time.
So what you're saying is, basically, if I understand this, Brad, when customers are coming in your door, they're looking for a home. They're looking for a friend. They're looking for a place to be loyal to. And if they don't come back, you've screwed up royally, haven't you?
You failed somewhere along the way.
I mean, you not only you've gone beyond just indifference. You've actually done something to make them stay away when they really wanted to come back.
Absolutely, and that's what I tell
Why
people.
Why are we doing that?
Well, I tell people that when a customer comes in your door, they aren't necessarily looking for your product or service. I believe they're looking for a person and a place from which to buy your product or service. And all we have to do is fulfill their wants, needs, and desires and be a nice human being and treat them as they want to be treated. And I think we'll have some success with just that alone.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's amazing to me, Brad, and you've helped us with this over the years so many times, but it still amazes me how many people don't get how important the person coming in that door with their cash or their plastic in their hand and a need in their and a want, a need in their heart and a want in their mind. And when I say that, I'm not just talking about employees either. I'm talking about owners of businesses.
That's exactly right. And they
now you and I both know they need that customer, but for some reason they can't make themselves love up that customer. When we come back, you're going to teach them how to do that.
Absolutely.
Right after these messages, 22, we'll be right back with our good friend Brad Huskin. He's the author of Munchies for Salespeople. Stay with us.
All the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. Your love give me such a thrill, but your love don't pay my bills. I need
fun. We're back at 17 Tell. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, having a great visit with our good friend Brad Huskin, the author of I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD. Brad, give us your website, please.
It's www.iastraining.com.
And folks, Brad travels all over the country, halfway around the world, helping people to improve their sales training, the sales capability of their employees and themselves. And if you would like for Brad to help you, you can either subscribe to his newsletter. You're still sending that thing out free, aren't you, Brad?
Oh, absolutely. The newsletter is called Sales Insight. And we send it via fax or email for those people that aren't up to date on technology.
I get it both ways. I can't get enough of it. And you can find out about the books. You can engage Brad's services if you would like him to help you with your salespeople. Not only salesmanship, but customer service as well, right?
Customer service and sales management are the areas that we focus on. Sales training, sales management training, customer service, and communication.
All right. So check that out, folks, at IAS.training.com.
Well, don't forget to mention anybody that mentions your show.
Oh, yeah.
Gets the built-in discount. So.
Exactly. Don't forget that.
Absolutely.
And, of course, they hang up on you the first time. You'll have to call back after the... Brad, let's talk about getting these folks trained.
Okay. Well, there's a couple issues, and one of them is... it is my belief there's only three ways that a salesperson can increase their personal sales, and that is to get more people to come in the door or to make contact with their business, to sell more of the people they're already contacting or that are coming in the door, and sell more to the people they're already selling through add-ons and bump-ups and those kinds of things. The second means sell more to the people that you're already contacting. That would be through sales techniques and improving your skills and all those things. But the first thing I mentioned was how do we get more people to come in the door? And I think that networking is an important aspect of the job of a salesperson. And it's something that I think people need to focus on. And just to give you an example, I was doing a seminar in Salt Lake City, I think it was, and I had 60, 75 people in the room. And when they came back from lunch, I just said to them, how many of you have exchanged business cards with one another? And nobody raised their hand and kind of frightened me a little bit. And I just wanted to slap them and say, do you call yourself salespeople?
Just walk up
didn't.
And pop
nice.
All of them on the right on the forehead, right?
Exactly. Just whack them a little bit. But so there's several things that we can do to network. And number one way is to get involved in your community, whether it be your church group or your local civic organization or the Chamber of Commerce, the Lions Club.
And you don't have to go to those things with a fistful of cards and be flinging them out everywhere. You don't have to do that.
No, that was one of the comments I was going to make. We don't want to do it in a multi-level marketing type of a way, so to speak. But we do want to do it in an effective way. And the whole goal behind it is to just make friendships and get to know people and get your name out there in the community. And they will serve you well if you do that.
Well, and once you're around people and they realize that you're not just there for business, you're there to contribute, you know, at some point in time, somebody's going to ask you or ask somebody else, what does that guy do?
Absolutely. And if you give me your business card and say, geez, if you're ever in the market, come over and see me. I'd love to take care of you.
But,
then, you know, I was going to say, it's not pushing aggressive and overbearing, but it is just a means of being known in your community.
Do you consider referrals to be part of networking?
Well, that was the next aspect that I was going to talk about, is that I think in every business organization, they better have a plan where they're asking every customer for referrals. And I'm not saying that it's pushing aggressive either, but if I say, geez, who else do you know that may be interested in siding for a house, or who else do you know that may be interested in windows or landscaping or jewelry, they may just give me the name of two or three of their buddies that are interested in those things, and then I give them my business card and say, geez, do you mind if I mention your name, or would you mind giving them one of my cards? I'd love to meet them.
But don't we need to train, don't people need to be trained on how to get you a referral? And to, I mean, it's not other people's responsibility to be good at selling us. Don't we have to train them a little bit?
Yeah, and I think that we have to tell them all the reasons, and we have to inspire them, so to speak, through some type of an incentive program for our customers to actually promote our business for us. And, you know, it's an old term called bird dogging, which
right.
I'm sure you've heard of in the industry. But, you know, I do a lot of work in the piano and organ business, and those guys can't survive without what they call their centers of influence, and people actually promoting their business for them and telling the neighbors, gosh, I got my piano over there at Joe's Music Store. You got to go see him when you're in the market. And it's conversations like those, because every day of our lives, when somebody buys something new or has something done to their home or makes an investment or something, they're telling at least 5, 6, 10 other people about the experience that they had. And we want it to be a pleasant experience where they're actually saying, if you ever need that, here's the guy's card. Go see him.
Well, one thing I used to tell people whenever I would talk to them about helping me with referrals, because, you know, I'd have those centers of influence, and I could tell they would say, they would act like they cared about the success of my business, you know. And I would say, well, if you ever meet anyone that you think would be a good prospect for me, I'd appreciate it if you'd figure out a way to get us together. And then I would say this to them, and I'll make you this promise. If they're your friend when we meet, they'll be your friend after we meet.
Absolutely.
And you got to make sure that you let them know that you're going to take care of their relationship, that you will earn their trust when you perform.
You'll earn the right to actually use their name. And that is a investment in somebody else's future as well, that they've got to know you and trust you, that you won't be coming across as pushing, aggressive, and overbearing.
Because people don't refer vendors.
No.
But they do refer quality organizations where they think that their friend might want to be loyal to.
Absolutely.
Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our good friend Brad Huskin right after these messages. It's 10-10. We're back. It's 7-10. Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Brad Huskin is here, too. He's the author of I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD, and one of our top salesmanship experts in the Brain Trust. And we're talking about doing a better job of getting customers and taking care of our customers. Brad, what's the next thing you got on your mind?
Well, the other thing I was going to talk about was we've already talked about getting out there and networking, get involved in the community, passing out your business cards, asking every customer that you have now for a referral.
Can I make a passing out your business
Sure.
card suggestion?
Absolutely.
Don't give people a handful of them and say, here, give these to your friends. Please don't do that.
No, that's the
pushy and aggressive somebody
way.
One business card, and if they say, can I have another to give to my friend, after you think about it for about a split second, give them another one. But don't walk up to somebody and say, here's 10 cards, give them out to your friends. Because you know what I do with them when they do that? I throw them in the garbage can. If they won't take them back, I just throw them in the garbage can.
Absolutely. Well, the last aspect that I wanted to talk about was getting on the phone and calling your customers after the fact. And
you mean follow up?
Can you believe that?
Where did you come up with an idea like this?
I don't know.
This is a wild and crazy thing. You're the only person in the world who's ever thought of this.
Well, I was staying in a rather nice hotel last week, and I ordered room service. And shortly after I got the meal, they called me to make sure I got everything.
What are these people?
I thought, man,
what are these people
thinking?
What's
with you people?
Wow, what a great story.
What a banner idea, isn't it? but it's amazing how.
Because usually, you know, if there is something wrong, you call up and you say, you know, you guys just brought me up a hamburger and fries, and they say, yeah, so what?
Uh-huh.
Usually, that's what you get.
Yeah, usually they don't care.
Yeah.
And I find that if a company has, let's just say, 10 people out there in the world somewhere that are upset with them, very few will actually come back and tell them they're upset and give them the opportunity to fix the situation. And I believe, and I'm going to go to the grave believing that most companies are good and they want to take care of their customers and they want the customer to be satisfied and they want to take care of any problems. But if you don't even have the opportunity to fix it when something goes awry, then you're missing a huge segment of your potential sales opportunities for the referral base and all those other things as well.
I've actually had people say the reason they don't call their customers back afterwards to find out how happy they were or not is because they were afraid it would give the people an opportunity to complain when they otherwise wouldn't.
Exactly, and that's why I say...
That's backwards,
It's bass-ackwards. That's exactly why you want to call your customers, is because if they do have a situation that you can rectify, you have the chance to rectify it. But if you don't ever get that opportunity, they're probably going to tell at least 10, 15, 20 other people not to do business with your organization.
Well, they're just going to have a bad taste in their mouth, and they're not going to come back.
Exactly.
And as small business owners, we can't have that.
No, we live and die by our personal trade and repeat business and referral business. So you got to do everything humanly possible to make sure that you do the right thing.
Well, and we can't afford a big advertising marketing budget. Even if we do advertise and do marketing, we don't have that. We've got most of our success has got to come from what you're talking about, Brad.
Just word of mouth advertising is the most powerful tool available to us as small business people. Mm-hmm. And if we're not doing everything humanly possible to make sure that the word of mouth is very positive and people are singing our praises and people are giving us recommendations, then we're making a big mistake somewhere along the line.
Well, and it fits hand in glove with our formal marketing and advertising efforts.
Well,
if somebody's already heard us on the radio or television or in the newspaper or in a magazine or whatever, they've seen a billboard, if they've already seen that and somebody refers us, there's a click there, isn't there?
Absolutely.
As our friend Phil Noman says, there's a ding there.
A ding, that's exactly right. And, you know, what I was going to say is that if, in fact, we're not living up to, I think what Ken Blanchard said in his book, Raving Fans, turning every customer into a raving fan,
mm-hmm.
then all we're doing is getting a sale for today. We're not building for our future. So we need to build for the future and start today by starting a campaign of calling our customers, making sure that they're happy with everything that we've done for them, and you know, don't hesitate to ask for referrals from people that you know and you trust, and just ask who else that they know may be interested in your product or service, and then they give you a name or two, and then say, do you mind if I mention your name when I give them a call?
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, I can assure that when they're done with me, they'll still be your friend.
All right. You got to make that promise. No question about
Absolutely.
It. Brad, give us your website one more time.
It's www.iastraining.com.
I hope you subscribe to his newsletter.
Absolutely.
And don't forget to check out his books while you're there. Brad, thanks for being here. Good job,
Jim,
today.
It's been a real pleasure.
We'll see you next time.
Uh-huh.
Brad Huskin, ladies and gentlemen, he's the best. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.